Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 61 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Zachar, the Unbelievable, Part 7. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
None of us should be here. If hell was winning the battle, we wouldn't be here. So, God, I'd like to introduce you to this idea that in Christianity, we have created this passive mindset that I'm going to die to everything, and I just kind of sit back, and I'm going to turn into a monk or something. We kind of got this passive idea that God is passive about this thing. My Bible says that I'm to be an overcomer. I think that's a winner. Is that right? I think overcomer is a winner, right? It's not a passive loser that I'm just going to give up the ghost and God's going to take care of everything. Well, I got news for you. God is going to take care of everything. But you're a winner in Christ Jesus, and life has a lot to live unto. There's more to live unto than there is to die to. More to live unto than there is to die. Do we need to die to a few things? Yeah. But there's more to live unto than there is to die to. And if that wasn't a true spiritual law, you wouldn't be sitting here. The very fact that believers down through the ages have known the truth that there's more to live unto than there is. Yeah, a lot of them's died to a lot of things, even physically. But there's more to live unto than there is to die to. So as a Christian, we want to get out of this idea that it's always about me dying. It's all about me. And I understand the concept, I need to be less, that he can be more. I understand all those concepts. But it's speaking, your selfishness needs to be less. Not yourself. I mean, God came to save yourself, save you. I mean, you have some worth here. And God, he died so for yourself, you see. But he wants you to die to selfishness. That's right. There's part of this self that needs to pay attention to some great ideas that God has if we're going to move along. So I want us to consider this idea that we are to be overcomers. We are to be winners in Christ Jesus. That means you're a winner over depression. You're a winner over health situations. We're just a winner. We have been redeemed to be of the redeemed. Redeemed people are winning people. You won. You're going to heaven, not to hell. You won, right? So if you're on your way to heaven and you won heaven, you're a winner. You're not a loser along the way, and then you're going to win. Is anybody kind of with me on this thing? So we, as Christians following Christ, we need to understand that bad attitudes, these emotional mind games of, and y'all have heard me say this before, I've gotten a few emails over it. They were interesting, could have been right, but I'm not in for people having a pity party so they can get patted on the back. When people come to me and want a pity pat on the back, I usually kick them somewhere that's not a pat on the back. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. I mean, you just put me in gear to tell you something you need to hear. Why? It's because I know a truth. I know a truth. Now, lest I forget what I'm teaching this morning, let us go back to our slides. Shifting atmosphere. Now, in the shifting of these spiritual atmospheres, I titled this one this morning, The Unbelievable Required. Now, to me, for me to escape hell, I have no problem whatsoever believing I deserve hell. I don't know if y'all have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I do have a problem with me believing the unbelievable that I'm going to heaven. I'll be honest with you, that's a stretch for me. I'm taking God at His word. But it's unbelievable to me. So once I start seeing when I'm going with God and I'm going to believe God for it, it's probably going to be unbelievable to me. Right? So if you're going to be convinced before you go with God, guess what? If you get it into the realm of being believable, you're probably not going with God. You just figured it out with your brain, or what? You fooled yourself in some way that, through your pride of deduction of facts, that you think you figured it out. When we move with God and believe God, it will. When you move into the realm of unbelievable, when you've been stretched to that point, that you are giving acknowledgement that you are proclaiming the unbelievable, it's a good chance you're proclaiming it and walking with God because it's unbelievable. If that's the case, if it's unbelievable, am I the only one that has said things that God would do, not knowing if I believed it myself, but I said it anyway? Am I the only one that's done that? I mean, it says it in here, and I'll say, I had this one guy, and he was kind of a terror, kind of like the demoniac in a village, and years ago he came to me, and he said he was going to kill himself, and I thought he was going to kill himself and then kill me, because this was a bad dude, and so I said, well, let's talk a little bit before you do all that, so we talked. I promised him everything God has done, would do, and is going to do in the future. And honestly, I think I got a little extra biblical. I think I even promised him stuff's not in there. I promised him everything I could think of. And so he got up and left, and I left. And I thought, whew, I kind of got through that. I mean, I'm honest with you. Now, this guy, when he came in the room, everybody got quiet. It's like an old Western or something, you know. And about 2 weeks, I was at a restaurant, and he came in. He had a big old Bible, one of them big large prints. He threw it down on the table where I was eating. All the glasses shook and everything. He said, "Alan," I said, "What?" He had that old stern face. He said, "It works." I said, "Oh, my God." I thought, well, God just took me up on some things, and I'm not even sure if he's done yet. But he said, "It works." I offered to him the unbelievable to me. And I witnessed the unbelievable in him. The unbelievable stretched through my soul, and I said out of my spirit, "What's unbelievable to me?" I got healed of cancer 25 years ago or 30. That's still unbelievable to me. It feels like it was somebody else. I'm like, are you sure? But I'm here, so I guess I was. But still, that's unbelievable. Now, keep this in mind as we're shifting atmospheres. We're wanting to shift into this realm of the unbelievable. Now, I didn't say we're shifting into the atmosphere just doing stupid stuff. It's unbelievable situations. Now, let me move right quickly. I've got to throw this slide in there just to bring us back up to speed. We reach in the remembering. You remember I've taught you that it says in Genesis that in the beginning God created man, and that word in his image, and that word for man is what? Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. The word Zakar says God created a Zakar in his image. Zakar means the remembering one. So God has created us as the remembering ones. We are to remember. Now, and I've told you, we reach in the remembering for the power that is needed for the now. In other words, as a Zakar, this situation I'm in right now is unbelievable. So how do I get the faith for the unbelievable? I reach back in my remembering, because I've been created in the image of God, and when I reach back in my remembering of what God has done in the past, I reach in there, I will find then the power of the faith for the now. Remember, you are the remembering one. Your memory is the part of you that is the most like God. That's the reason your remembering is the place of the battleground. It's the remembering. You have things in your memory that you wish you could forget. You can't. So what do? We take those bad memories to the cross and have them redeemed, so that that bad memory has a happy ending. Right? That's what we call healing the memory. It's important because she's going to be there. Why? You were created to remember. Now, just move on. Your life is about your life with the end in mind. I covered this last week. Your life is about your life with the end in mind. A lot of people live totally their life for somebody else, so they never stop long enough to live their life for them. Right? But you got to understand something. Your life is about your life with your expected end in mind. We're going to get into that a little more. Things around you are to develop your life, which is God helping you to your end. Don't like them, do you? I don't either. Did you know that a lot of the things that are around you to develop your life are seats of pain? It's painful. It's you've heard the term, no pain, no gain. Keep this in mind as we move forward. I got to move quickly. True love is created by passion. Now I'm going to bring these elements of these first three or four slides here together in the direction we're going. True love is created by passion. I've taught you how the passion will take you where momentum won't. Right? Yes. Momentum is something you have to keep kicking up. You got to keep it spinning, that ball. You got somebody in the flesh has got to hit that thing. Make it move. That's momentum. A lot of people want to go to revival so they can catch the momentum of a revival, and they say, I didn't get a thing. Well, the reason you didn't get a thing, momentum is not the spirit, but passion is. You're watching people with passion create a momentum. But a momentum is man-made. A passion is not. When it goes passion, it goes spirit. Now, only passion will change your life. Momentum won't. You can go from place to place and get all the momentum you want to. You can come into church and sing a few songs and get a momentum. But you'll leave the same way as you came in. Passion will create an action. Momentum requires the next push. Now, I covered all this last week. If you want to go online, you can listen to it. Passion carries you somewhere. Passion is going to carry you somewhere. How you live your life should match who you want to be. That's right. How you live your life should match who you want to be. You say, I want to be my dream. Well, give time to your dream. You live your life. Now listen, if you're living your life and if it's matching who you want to be, there's going to be a lot of pain involved. Oh. Well, are you sure you want to live your life? Are you sure you want it to match the way you want to be? Think about it. We live life one event at a time. Now, I'm going to move into our new part here. The next stage of growth to a sprouting seed. I'm a farmer. I do seeds. I've made money with seeds, and I've lost a lot of money with seeds. I know my seed. Now, the next stage of growth to a sprouting seed is challenging and full of pain. You notice I have used the word pain quite a few times already this morning. Pain is used in the spiritual world. Pain is used in the natural world. The same laws for the natural world of pain is the same laws in the spiritual world of pain. Pain is part of the prophetic. When a seed bursts through its outer shell and it starts to sprout, it's that seed goes through such a crisis trying to push through it. The reason you got to have so much moisture and everything to soften the outer part of it, so it can burst through. So it can burst through the outer shell of the seed. That causes a pain, if you will, to that sprout in the seed. It'll die there sometime. Another example. If you have chickens and they're hatching in eggs, they'll get a little beak will start and they'll go to pecking and breaking open until they finally come out. A lot of times people will help them once they start pecking and they'll get, well, I'm going to help them get out. Most of the time those chickens will die. Take a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. Total transformation. It starts tearing open that cocoon with its wings, and it takes it a while. You help that butterfly out of that cocoon, and it can't fly. It takes the pain of the growth. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Yeah. Takes the pain of the growth so you can fly when you get there. Most people are wanting to minimize pain. There's a certain amount of pain with each event of life, and God's using it to take you to the next level. Do not despise the pain. We come to God and say, deliver me from this cocoon. God says, use your muscle. You're a winner. You're an overcomer. And by you going through this pain, you will be able to fly once you get out. Anybody getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Now, next stage of growth to a seed. It's challenging, but it's full of pain. Has anybody been going through a lot of pain in the last 5 years? All right. Are you getting anything? Is the Holy Ghost speaking anything to you? You're going to get through it. If you want to build muscle in your body, are you going to have to go through a lot of pain to get it? Now, the good thing about going through the pain at the end of pain is a reward. Right? So once you start hearing what I've got to offer you this morning, you start seeing, you start identifying, oh, heaven's the reward. Got it? So are we going through pain now? Yes. Why? We are being prepared. Did you know that we can start flying now like we're going to fly then? That's right. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some people's got so much pain, I'm like, God, I think you're going to overshoot heaven with that one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I son of a gun, there's a lot of people's had a lot of pain. But I know the truth. I know how it works. We don't come to Christ to be relieved of pain. Most of you came to Christ, you got more pain than you ever had. That's the truth. Come on. Why? Because God has your expected end in mind in every day of your life that you're living. So once we start seeing the plan of God, we start wondering, you know, I've heard it said before, God, you're so hard on your children, you just wonder you got any friends. I'm not so sure that God's in it through it for all of that, but You've got to see what I'm trying to say here. You are living your life with the end in mind. Now, is everybody kind of with me? Good, because I don't know where I'm going. Now, pain is necessary for greatness. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. Your attitude towards pain, it can be emotional pain, it can be physical pain, it can be job-related pain, it can be any kind of pain. I don't care if it's spirit, soul, body, spiritual pain, pain's pain. Same rules apply. Pain is necessary for greatness. You see, the reason you'll experience more pain now than you did is because you are a winner.
Yes. Yes.
Why was Michael Jordan a winner? Because he practiced and worked at it harder than anybody else on the court. It wasn't that he had more talent. He had more discipline. That's right. He didn't put in a 40-hour week, 8-hour day. He put in a 14 to 16 hour a day, every day, till he reached his goal. That's what a winner does. So God says, you're now a winner. Well, guess what, somebody? You just signed up for 16 hour days, 7 days a week in the Spirit with God. That's right. Christianity is not a place if you want to be lazy for Jesus. It's not the way it works. Come on, somebody. If you're on a vacation, you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven. It's not going to happen here. I need to get nicer. Okay, let me get nicer. Now, pain is necessary for greatness. Can you see that picture right there? Came out of the Passion of Christ. Was Jesus great or what?
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Is he your superhero, yes or no? What made it so? Because of the cross of Christ. Because of his pain. He was made great. Who do you follow this day? Christ. Anybody getting it?
Yes.
So we don't despise the... Matter of fact, Jesus Christ on the cross is called the Passion of Christ. It was his passion to run to the pain. Why? Because he said he could bear the pain of the world. Why? Because Jesus had the end game in mind. That's right. What happens with Christians today? You've lost the end game. You don't understand. We're being prepared to live now and then. You're being prepared to fly, somebody. You say, well, Alan, but you don't know my past. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Well, according to my Bible, that you should love more than anybody else. Right? So that means if this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened in your life, and God redeemed you, you should fly higher than all. I should be looking at your belly button. You should be flying higher than all of us. It doesn't hold you back. It's the pain being interpreted into greatness. You got to get in your brain and your spirit that you are a winner. You are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we drag around with our legs dragging and our lips stuck out. And God help us. And we're winners. Well, this happened to me this week. Well, this happened to me this week. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Somebody. Have you ever in your life talked with people and they talk about their pain like it's a badge of superiority? Have you ever talked to anybody like that? Let's carry it a step further. Have you ever been that person that somebody else heard? Mm-hmm. We all have. You got to get it. You got to get that when we get this in our brains up here, anything less, the Bible says you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Overcomer means that you've overcome, which means you win. I've heard people say, well, Alan, we're supposed to lose and lay down. And I'm like, that's just not the Jesus I ran into. He said I'd have abundant life. I could overcome these things. I feel like Christians are supposed to be smarter than anybody else. I guess I'm politically incorrect. I thought we were supposed to have an edge on the world. Because we got the Holy Ghost running with us. The Holy Spirit. We're running. All of a sudden he says, whoa, 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 don't step in that hole. We go around it. And stuff like that. What makes you a winner? It's because you run faster than anybody else, somebody. That's right. It's what makes you a winner. It's what makes you an overcomer. If we're sitting in here as Christians and believers in Christ Jesus, and the world out there is living and happier and doing better than us, we've read the wrong book somewhere. We're at least believing the wrong book somewhere. Oh my goodness, I got to hurry. It's 10 o'clock. Now, pain is necessary for greatness. If you're going to college, it's going to take a lot of pain of a lot of study to be great. But guess what? The Holy Ghost will help you. Will the Holy Ghost help you if you sleep all day long? You got to be available for the Holy Ghost to help you. Oh, I thought when I came to Jesus, the Holy Ghost did it for me. But wrong answer. Way I read my Bible, he's come to comfort you and help you in your going. Key part of that verse, you got to be going. Y'all have never had cows get out, have you? The hardest thing you can do is try to put cows up and they won't walk. Cows have got to be moving. I don't care if they're in the wrong direction before you can get them back in where they're supposed to be. You got to move to be directed. See, the enemy tries to shut you down where you're paralyzed. I can't move. I can't think. I'm confused. You're shut down. Well, move. Go somewhere. Say, I don't want to go to church. Go anyway. Move. So the Holy Spirit can direct your path. No movement, no direction. Pain is necessary for greatness. And if you want to be a winner in Christ Jesus, if you want to be a step above of everybody in the world, it's going to take pain to get you there. And y'all can say thank you, Alan, anytime. Okay. Now, I think I just cut my screen off. Okay. There we go. I hit the wrong button. Now, I want you to think about this. Pain lasts, but for a season. But life lasts forever. Are you with me?
Yes.
Pain lasts for a season. But eternal life and life has no end. So the enemy tries to convince us that this pain of life that I'm going through right now is going to last forever. No. Did Jesus hang on the cross forever? No. Matter of fact, what makes him so great is on the third day, he conquered the grave. He came out of it, and he come around, walked around a while on the earth, talked to the disciples, and then he hightailed it home. That made him great. His greatness. The pain has a beginning and has an end. What determines the end is when you allow it to finish its work. Now, we'll not stay there long. There are going to be times that you feel beaten down, that you cannot carry this cross any longer. All of us have different crosses, different weights, different things we're carrying in life, and we'll reach this point of being beaten down. We'll be convinced we've had this criticism, we've had this rejection, we've had all of these things happen. And we come to this point that we're beaten down and we're just like, I can't not carry this cross any longer. You have to find something inside of you that will keep you going. Can anybody hear what I'm saying this to somebody today. I don't know who you are. But in life, what happens with pain is we get beaten down. Was Jesus beaten? Yes. I'm going to get into that just a little more. I'll get ahead of myself. Right, you're looking for something. We've got Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. So we reach down. When you get to your... Has anybody been to their end lately? I mean, I don't know if you take a right or a left or go up or down. But anybody been to their end lately? The truth is, I would have quit, but I don't know what you do. I've told... A guy came to me the other day, so loud milk prices are bad. Are you going... You're going to quit? And I said, well, I probably already would have, but do you quit milking first? Or you quit feeding them first? You tell, I don't know what you do first to quit. You got to find something down in you. You see, pain has a beginning and an end, right? But let me tell you something else. Eternal life and life lasts forever. But when you quit, it lasts forever also. You say, well, Alan, I'm at my end. I can't do it anymore. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Only thing I can tell you, you can't quit. Quit's not an option. Because it'll last forever. Pain, got a season. Eternal life lasts forever. You choose. It's your choice. Did you hear me? It's your choice which one you go with. You have to understand that it is a choice of pain or life. Now, I'm going to get into the pain just a little bit. You got to push through it. If you push through, you will reach your goal. We're in pain. We want to give up. Heck with it. We reach inside of us for something, which is the Spirit, which is Christ. You've got to have in your noodle up here that you're going to push through no matter what. People and Christians have gotten to a place that they are considering they don't have to push through. That little grain of corn has to push through the outer shell. That little chicken's got to bust out its outer shell. The butterfly's got to bust through its outer shell. The only thing it has to do is keep pushing through. It's not an option that you're going to quit when you get tired. It's not an option that you're going to quit when you don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with any of that. You're going to push through till you fly. Quit considering these other options. It's just the dark side trying to get you to stop right before you get there. I'm going to use her name. I don't think she would mind. I was talking to Jenna Laird, battles with anorexia. And which she is overcoming, she's doing fabulous, overcoming. But I shared this with her in the early stages of her understanding. I said, now the greatest battle you will ever have with this thing, the greatest battle is the one right before you're free. I said, the battles don't keep diminishing until all of a sudden you're better. Not the way the spirit world works. Your greatest battle is your last one. Now, you can think the last one you had was your greatest one, but you relapse in something. That next one's going to be worse. Are you with me? I report to you that Jenna's doing well, doing fabulous, has overcome it, and talks with other people all the time how to overcome it. If you notice, I use the word overcoming. She's a winner. Why? Because it's added to her expected end. It's got her expected end in mind. Christian, she does well to get used to winning. And quit agreeing with the dark side. Use the pain to make you strong. Keep fighting through it. Quitting's not an option. Never comes from God. The pain produces a passion. Pain produces a passion. Greater the pain, the greater the passion. The passion of Christ. Was he great or what? Yes. Pain develops, creates passion, which creates greatness. Now, listen to me, church. God's created you to be greatness. That's right. He's created you to be greatness. You will become the best that you can ever be if you'll keep pushing through the pain. Now, I'm speaking to our prophetic people here. If you want to be a prophetic people, you got to understand how pain works. You got to understand that God's wanting to take you higher. The way he takes you higher, Jesus was the ultimate of that height. He endured the cross. Shot him straight to heaven. It comes through pain. Now, pain will take you to the next level. Anybody interested? A lot of times I might lose you right here. I told the Lord this morning about 4 o'clock. I said, I don't know if I can go this far, Lord. Please listen. Did Jesus go to the next level after the cross? Yes. You see, most people, most Christians, as Christians, we want to study ourselves to the next level. Now, I'm all for studying. I'm all for studying. But as a prophetic people, you get to the next level through the pain of the circumstances that is around you. And God's saying, as you push through these circumstances, I'm going to take you to the next level. You can have a prophetic class and get to this part. You'll have 100 and you'll end up with 10. The pain. Now listen to me. Pain is not permanent, but the next level is. Come on, somebody. Did you get it?
Yes.
I'm trying to progress here. Pain's not permanent. Next level is. What did you think the Apostle Paul meant when he said you go from glory to glory? New revelation, light's going off. The glory of Christ was on the cross. The glory of Christ was in his pain. And he turned that pain into eternal life. You say, well, Alan, I don't understand why it works that way. I don't either. You have to take it up with God when you get up there. I don't understand it. I just know it's true. And your life should be given a testimony to what I'm saying. I'm just trying to give you understanding of what's happened. The pain will make you bigger than your past. I cried on that one right there. The pain will make you bigger than your past. We want to come out of the pain and get back to our past. And God's trying to get you past your past. The only way he can do it is kick us in the hind end with some pain. Sheep tend not to lead. You got to get a sheep dog. Anybody know what that means? Then you'll have a header and you'll have a healer. What a header is, a header is a dog. A sheep dog will bite him in the nose, and a healer is a sheep dog will bite him in the feet. Anybody had a sheep dog on you lately? Cause the sheep to move through pain. Now, God's a loving God. He'll not kill you. He'll not put on you more than you can stand, but you can stand more than you think. And I'm sorry that he has to use this way to get us to move, but he's going to take us from pasture to pasture, from glory to glory. He's going to finish what he started, and I'm the one that's having to bear the bad news of how he's going to do it. But you know I'm telling you the truth. Now, we must show the enemy we can endure. Now, he needs to take notice that God's people is going to endure. We're going to keep pecking at that shell till we get out. As a seed, we're going to keep pushing through. We're going to push through. We're determined because we are going to grow. We're going to push and we're going to fight. Not only that, we got a bunch of weeds waiting on us in the garden when we get through. We got to show them a thing or two. Let me tell you something about weeds. Best thing to do if you're a corn plant to a weed, the best thing you can do is grow faster than the weed. You can't pull them up. Bible says not to, but you can outgrow them. Come on. That'd make a good teaching, wouldn't it, right there. Now, Matthew 24. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's the context of that scripture? Endure what? Endure pain. Is that saved from hell? No. Could it be? Could. Well, what he's saying is if you'll endure, if you'll push through, there's salvation at the end of that. Salvation is anything that's good. Salvation is anything that's been saved and is not lost. Your whole spiritual life is constantly being saved. You're on a journey. And this saving, this part of salvation is you have to endure through to the end. Why? Because God in this verse has your expected end in mind. He's got your expected end in mind. That's the reason he says, endure. He could have said, endure unto your expected end. So how long are we going to endure till we get there? Christians, if anybody's in here is discouraged, just quit it. It's not an option. You can't quit. You can get discouraged. I don't care. Do all those things. But you're not quitting. You're going to the end. You got to have a resolve. Why? Because I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer, the Bible says. Now, the word endure means what? To suffer something painful or difficult. Patiently. Wow. It's hard to sit on a thumbtack patiently, isn't it? What do we do? It's to suffer. The word endure means we suffer through. We endure. It's painful, is what he's saying. Here's an example. It seemed impossible that anyone could endure such pain. How do we know we are enduring? Everyone can be good when things are good. But the questions are, how are you when things are bad? How can you know? Just because you have been hit does not mean you have been taken out. Can somebody hear that? That's for somebody in here. Just because you've been hit doesn't mean you've been taken out. Jesus was a winner, and winners keep moving forward. That's just the way it is. Jesus was a winner. He is our example. And he kept moving forward. The possibilities of being a winner are in all of us. Is it in Christ? Is Christ in you? So the possibilities of all of us being winners like Christ are in us. You remember this? When you want to succeed in enduring as much as you want to breathe, you'll overcome. Hope you can hear the passion in that. When you want to succeed in enduring as much as you want to breathe, you will be an overcomer. Enduring a cross, and I want to move on just a little more here before I stop. Enduring a cross is not failing. Now, let me show you this little example, and I'll stop. It is impossible to not experience failing when enduring. Wow. Are you with me? It is impossible to not experience failing when enduring. Failing at anything is part of enduring. Did you know Jesus had a failure experience? Well, watch it here. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," whatever. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Anybody felt that one? My God," Jesus said, "Where are you, God?" Jesus was wondering if he'd failed. God. Jesus had to feel and experience what we feel. God, have you forsaken me? What have I done? Have you left me? Now, shame is always associated with enduring. Did you know that? Experiencing shame is part of enduring. Here it is in Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross, despising what?" Different translations have a different word there. "Despising the shame," or "casting off the shame," "and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Right here, Jesus went through the pain of the cross, and the only thing on the planet that he put with him enduring that cross was the word shame. He endured the shame of being on that cross. Has anybody in here ever felt shame? If somebody's shaming you, you're enduring and it's painful. Are you with me? It's painful. You'll endure it and you take it to the cross. Let it go. He didn't put another word up. He didn't say, "So your body would be healed." He didn't say, "So your spirit would be healed." He didn't say, "So you'd be saved." He didn't say, he said the shame. So shame is a sure spiritual sign that you are enduring a cross. And God has your expected end in mind. Is shame painful? Yes or no? Yes. Now, in life, it is the person that is willing to endure that wins. I've got a lot more stuff. You'll have to come back next week to see it. I'm 3 minutes over time, and they'll shut the lights off on me if I don't quit. But please, do you hear what I had to say today about pain? How how pain is necessary, how it moves you from level to level. Pain doesn't last forever. Eternal life does. Quitting does last forever. So quitting's not an option to a winner. How many winners win because they quit? None. So God is wanting you to experience what you have, which is you are inside of you, is to win, to overcome. Is anybody interested in any of that? If you are, let's stand. I'm going to pray for you. Test what I say. But Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you that this church is full of overcomers, full of winners. Lord God, is with this revelation and this new information, I pray, oh God, if anything that I've said is of you, I pray it'll stick in to the hearts of these people. I pray, oh God, that they'll live up to who they are, what they are. I pray as Christians, they'll have an edge on the world. They'll be a step ahead of the world. That the revelation of your Holy Spirit in their life means that they win. We will not despise the pain. We will push through the pain, and we'll let it and allow it to take us to the next level that you want us to go to. So, Lord God, I bless these people. Now, Lord, be with us in our worship. As we worship you, I pray, oh God, that if we feel any pain in here, that we'll take it to the next level. We'll worship you inside of our pain because our worship of you is greater than any pain that we experience. Be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.